This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Now, despite how you might feel about it, email is not dead. More than 4 billion users worldwide send 319 billion emails every day. These days, we use our email for a lot more than just sending and receiving communications. We also use it as a form of online identity. You use it to create new accounts online, to validate and prove yourself in other spaces. But our next guest says there are some big flaws in the system. Sarah Morrison writes about data and digital privacy for Vox's Recode. She wrote the piece, "The Other Sarah Morrisons Are Ruining My Inbox." Sarah, welcome back to Central Time.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Well, you've got a problem. You write about it. You have a fairly common name. I don't have this problem so much. Why do other Sarah Morrisons keep showing up in your inbox?
Yeah, so like you said, email is very popular. So a lot of people use it. Several years ago, Gmail was new. I ended up signing up for it and getting sarahmorrison@gmail.com. So I'm, you know, no numbers, no spaces, whatever. I was pretty excited because, you know, it's actually been hard for me to get like a clean, you know, username, you know, and things. And, you know, over the years, other Sarah Morrison signed up for Gmail. Everybody signed up for Gmail. I think it's the most popular email provider out there. So you have millions, I think billions of people using this service. And then the odds of them also being named Sarah Morrison are pretty high. And then the odds of either people sending me emails they mean to send to them because they get the email address wrong, or them putting my email address down by accident when they like sign up for accounts, those odds obviously become very high because my email box at this point gets pretty much every day I get an email that's not meant for me.
And you've seen some pretty personal stuff, like a doctor's office might end up emailing you. Like a lot of people have made this mistake and gotten other Sarah Morrison's personal information sent in your direction.
Yeah, so like over the years, I sort of have these like mental like dossiers about certain Sarah Morrisons because some of them are like repeat offenders. So I kind of, yeah, have weird insight and access to these people's lives. And I don't think they have any idea that I do. And yeah, it's like their kids, you know, daycare progress. I think I've gotten homework assignments. I've gotten medical appointment reminders. I think those are problematic. I think one of the more problematic ones is when they like use my email to sign up for an account, which means I can then log into their account. You know, because if you forget your password, it goes to the email address you use to sign up. And then people's accounts, like there's credit cards and stuff on there. So yeah, I know a lot about these other people that I don't want to know. And that problem just seems to continue. So that was why I wrote this article in the end.
In effect, they've hacked themselves. And fortunately, you're not a malevolent actor. I hope you didn't write about it if you are. But you write that this points toward a really fundamental problem that's been there since the beginning of email. We built this huge communication system and nobody really thought about securing it all that much along the way. Can you take us through some of that history?
Right. So yeah, like as I was sort of trying to think of how will I write an article about this that isn't just why can't Sarah Morrisons get their email addresses, right? Which is like, which I would like to know, but is petty and not sort of universal. I thought, you know, we use email for a lot of stuff and it wasn't really built to do that. We use it for stuff beyond communication. And so, yeah, I looked into it and, you know, email's been around for, it actually predates the internet when they were, you know, the pre-internets, the ARPANET, whatever. People are trying to figure out a way so that computers can communicate with each other, you know, remotely and exchange data. And somebody figured out we can also communicate with the people who use those computers on top of that. So it wasn't even initially, I guess, what they wanted to even do. It was sort of like a hack. But obviously, it's a great idea. And this would be, you know, like the 70s. So we're talking about like 50 years ago is when the email is, you know, quote unquote, invented. So it goes back a long way.
Talking to Sarah Morrison, who writes about data and digital privacy for Recode by Vox. She recently wrote about email and why its lack of security in many ways makes hacking easier than it really needs to be. Sarah, one big point you made was how easy it is to get an email account and how little effort there goes into, I don't know, making sure we could prove who we are to that email provider.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to, if you've signed up for an email address, you don't even have to give your name. I think a point I made in the article is I've had this email address for longer than pretty much any identifier in my adult life, except for like my social security number. And I had to do a lot of identity verification to get that social security number, and I had to be born for one. And to get an email address, I think I filled out like 3 prompts. And then I have this thing that is like sort of the core underpinning of like my internet and kind of, you know, adult identity at this point. So that's, you know, when you think about it, it's pretty crazy that, you know, we have a lot of stuff at this point that just sort of evolved to be attached to these email addresses. And you don't have to, again, you have to do anything really to get them, and they're free and everybody has one. So like you said, there's a lot of ways that could go wrong, you know, that nobody, I guess, really thought about or anticipated as it, you know, became more popular and kind of evolved.
Now, for people who are listening and thinking this might be an abstract problem, you talked to someone who had a very concrete problem when one of his emails got hacked. Once somebody gets that and you've used that email to get into something else, can you talk about the cascade of what it can give a malevolent actor access to?
Yes, like what happened to Matt, and I assume a lot of people have, you know, this kind of setup, so a similar thing could, but I won't say would, but, you know, could happen to them, is email is like the backstop for a lot of our accounts. You know, like you forget your password, so you have it sent to your email address. They want to verify you signed up for an account, whatever, you know, that'll go to your email address. So if somebody gets access to your email, or if they've put the wrong email address down, then, you know, somebody else gets that access. So what happened to him is, you know, his email address was used, I think, you know, for like his Twitter account, like iCloud, that can control actually his computer, because you can, like, if you report your computer stolen, you can wipe the computer out. So his Twitter account got taken over, his computer got wiped. I think in the article, he said he had lost photos of his daughter's like first year of life. So that's devastating, you know, really. It is a problem. Yeah.
Is there a way to make a better email that's going to leave us, for all our our fallibility, going to leave us less vulnerable to that kind of stuff?
So that was, when I was writing this article, the thing that I had the most trouble with, because I was like, I don't think there is a solution here. and there kind of, you know, isn't overall, because it is such a great thing. Everybody has, maybe you have the internet, right? If you have the internet, you almost certainly have an email address. You don't have Facebook, maybe you don't have Twitter, whatever, but you almost certainly have this. So it's a really easy thing to use for all these purposes, which is why they use it. And also why people aren't going to be so keen to use something else if something was created. So, you know, I don't know how we get around that. Like, obviously somebody who's constantly putting my email address down because she can't remember her own is not going to be, you know, keen to switch to something that's more complicated than email. So, I mean, in the end, the solution for me was just to get a different email address. After trying to figure out if there was a way to solve this, there just kind of wasn't, you know, for me. But, you know, I talked to somebody who said, you know, like, at this point, we have 3 companies and Google, you know, head over heels above all of them, the market share of like email providers. And that's part of why it's so easy to email the wrong person if everybody's a Gmail address. So, you know, they're like, if this was sort of more, I guess, decentralized, this problem maybe wouldn't happen as much. But like, that's, these are all like, you know, things that we'd like to happen, unless we work at Google, I guess. It doesn't mean that they will. So, yeah, sorry. I don't have a solution.
Bummer. You did check out a couple email services. Now here's the downside to get the security services. They are not free, but you checked out a couple that at least try to offer more security. What are they? How does it work?
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, I was sort of like, I took for granted this thing that is just free and, you know, that I got. And it's like, maybe I should be paying for email if I have, you know, the fortunate to be able to afford it. I mean, these aren't that much. And if there's things you're looking for, like you don't want Google to be in control of your email, like there's a service called ProtonMail that's, you know, encrypted. You know, if the government wants to see what they have, your emails through them, like it's not on their, they can't see them on their server. So like if security is a big thing for you, there's that. There's a service called, you know, Hey, that just is very customizable, very easy to use, very user friendly. I don't want to like promote these specific services, but it's just to say you don't have to just go with the one that you've always had, like, which is what I was doing. You can actually look around and say, what do I want out of email? Is there anything out there that can give it to me? And probably there is.
Absent trying one of these services, tests and big fixes from the Googles of the world. What do you recommend to people who maybe have common names like yours and don't want to accidentally hack themselves to someone else?
Well, I'll special shout out to other Sarah Morrisons who might be listening. I would make sure I put the right email address down when I sign up for accounts, please. But, you know, for yourself, like I ended up finding a solution that worked for me. A couple people actually said, you know, I have my own domain name. So, you know, the @gmail.com is like at my unique domain name. So the chances of somebody getting the domain name wrong are, you know, pretty small, even if my name is common. That's a good one. You can always just, you know, filter, delete, opt out. I didn't want to do that because I didn't want my email address associated with other people's accounts. But other people may not mind that. Kind of just depends on how annoyed you are, how much of a problem you think all of these other people's emails are compared to how much of a problem it's going to be to have to like set up an account somewhere else or paying for an account if you go with one of those services. You know, for me, it ended up being worth that. And for other people, you know, obviously it isn't.
And Sarah, as we wrap up, I know I've heard over the years some new technology of some sort or another or app or whatever it was going to bring the end of email. Doesn't seem like that's going to happen anytime soon, does it?
No. One thing I did notice, though, is I used to, in the beginning, get a lot of stuff from people's family and friends. And over the years, I get far fewer of those, I think, because we tend to use messaging services to communicate with our family and friends. And so, and why it became more problematic is because email ended up being the way a lot of companies start to communicate with us. So I think in some ways, maybe the purpose of email or who we communicate with using email has changed. But, you know, email itself hasn't. It's easy to use. It's free. So yeah, it's going to be with us for a long time, even when people say it isn't.
Sarah, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Oh, thank you.
Sarah Morrison writes about data and digital privacy for Vox's Recode. She talked about security problems with email, especially when we use them as our identifiers for so many online services and credit cards and whatnot.